Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church on this day that we gather to celebrate the baptism of the Lord. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the first time or you've recently begun attending. We want you to be a member of our family, and we want to extend a hand of welcome to you any way we can help you become involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. We're happy to do that. One way to do that, of course, is to look in your bulletin insert, find those ways that you can participate in God's movement in this place at this time. I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, this evening in McWhorter Hall from 5 to 7, we're going to have a conversation talking about race in your community with Reverend Dr. F. Willis Johnson. Dr. Johnson is a United Methodist pastor from Ferguson, Missouri. He is here to help lead us in this conversation, and we hope to make a positive contribution to our conversation around race in this church, in this community, and in this country. Also, at 5 p.m. this evening, here in the sanctuary, our Taze service will take place. It's a time of quiet, it's a time of prayer, of singing, And if you just kind of get overwhelmed sometimes by all that your life is throwing at you, it's one of those places to come and recenter. I would remind you that the church offices are closed tomorrow in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And also remind you, don't forget to make reservations for Wednesday evening dinner if you plan to be here. It just helps us provide enough food for everybody. So if you do plan to be here, let us know by noon Tuesday. Call the church office or email the church office. Next Sunday, we'll begin a six-week sermon series on the art of neighboring. And this will continue all the way up to Ash Wednesday and to Lent. Jesus called us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and a part of that is to learn that art of neighboring and loving our neighbor, and we're going to concentrate over that over the next few weeks. Also, a celebration. We had 99% plus of our estimates of giving for 2016 completely fulfilled. Less than 1% was left unfulfilled. That's remarkable. Most churches plan on 3 to 5%, and often it's a great deal more. So I want to offer a word of thanks to you for your commitment, for your faithfulness, and also to remind you that it's not too late to turn in your estimate of giving for 2017. Wasn't that sneaky? That was sneaky, I know. But it is still a celebration, and I am grateful. Who in their right mind would move from the top of the food chain to the bottom? Who would come to a party and take the lowest place instead of the first place, the place of honor? Who would want to be the last in line rather than the first in line? Well, stick around. I'll tell you.
darkness is gone. New hope has arisen. We are marked by God as disciples. Come, Spirit of God, and rest upon us. God's Spirit works within us, stirring us to be holy people. Therefore, let us confess our sins and acknowledge our whole selves before God. God of love and grace, we confess that we do not always remember that we have been marked for love and service. We forget that you have called us by name. We ignore your message of hope. We behave in ways that do not promote peace and justice. Forgive us, O God. Turn us around. Help us to be the people who live your loving light, connected and transformed, serving others in God's name. Hear these words. We are known and loved by our Creator. We are marked as God's children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We don't have a hymn to sing, but if there are children present who would care to come down for the children's time, you're welcome to come down now. Bring a parent or grandparent if you want to. Anyone who'd care to, come on down and join us. Wonderful. Come sit with us. Today, we are remembering the story of Jesus' baptism. Lisa just read that story from the Gospel of Matthew. And the fact that Jesus didn't have to be baptized like us, but chose to be baptized like us, and that God didn't have to come to us as one of us in Jesus, but chose to do that, is a reminder of how important it is as followers of Jesus for us to remember that we belong to him and we belong to God, and that's what baptism reminds us of. We're going to have a baptism in just a few minutes, and we're lucky here because we have lots of baptisms here in this sanctuary, sometimes two a week. And you get to hear and see what people promise, what happens during the baptism. And I always tell parents that, you know, if they cry through it, they're still baptized at the end. If they sleep through it, they're still baptized at the end. Now, a little bit later, right following that baptism, we're going to invite all of you and all the rest of the congregation to come forward and remember your baptism and be thankful. Or remember that you have been baptized. Because my guess is if you were baptized as a baby, you don't remember it. You may have heard your parents talk about it. We give books to parents so that they may have read you that book. You may be able to read it on your own now and think about that day. But the important thing is not that you can or can't remember that day. The important thing is that you remember that on that day, God reached out and claimed you as a beloved child of God. And this church embraced you and said, "We would do everything in our power to remind you of how loved you are, that you are a child of God." And then when you come to the age to be confirmed, you take on those promises for yourself. And you say, "I do want to affirm that I'm a child of God, and I do want to be a follower of Jesus." And that's what we're celebrating here today. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the baptism of Jesus and what happened on that day. But what I want you to remember most of all is that you've been baptized, you are loved, and by this church, by God, and that you are a part of what God is doing in the world and sharing love with others. That's the best job you could have, I think, isn't it? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for coming to us as one of us, and thank you for sending Jesus, who chose to be baptized even though he did not need to be. Thank you for reaching out to us through our baptism, through our parents, our families, our communities, this church, to show us your love so that we might show that love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. When I was in seminary, roughly 100 years ago or so, it was customary for the professors there to take sabbaticals. And on the sabbatical, most of them would go study at a major university, Oxford or Cambridge or one of the universities on the continent, Germany or France. Some might go to Harvard or Yale. But we had a couple of professors who chose to do something really, really different. One was a professor of systematic theology. His name was Paul Rademacher. And even though he could have done any of the things I just named, he decided that for his year of sabbatical, he was going to take an appointment and serve a small local church. Well, his colleagues thought he was crazy. He's turning down the opportunity to go to some major university somewhere around the world to serve a local church. Going from the top, the most honored position as professor, down to being just a preacher? You realize that, don't you? We're at the lower edge of the totem pole when it comes to academics in seminary. So when they asked him, he said, well, you know, I'm training people to do this job. I ought to know a little bit about how it's done. And so he went, he served that church, and he came back, I think, a better prepared teacher for those of us who would spend our careers serving churches. Our librarian, John Batzel, took a little different approach. On his sabbatical, John kind of took a cue from a book that had come out a few years before, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. He hopped on a motorcycle, and he traveled around the country. He took photographs, and he collected songs, traditional songs, folk songs primarily. When he got back, he presented for the whole seminary a slideshow. That's what we had before we had PowerPoint. And with the slideshow, he had a tape recorder with recordings of these songs, and one of them I had never heard but really stood out for me. It was a song called When I Go Down to the Valley to Pray. Now, many of you will know it in a different version that T-Bone Burnett chose for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? When I Go Down to the River to Pray. But I thought it was interesting how that song about going down to the valley to pray or going down to the river to pray was so counterintuitive, just like John choosing to ride around on a motorcycle instead of exploring the great libraries of the world, or Paul Rademacher deciding he would serve a church instead of going to some of the great universities of the world. What's this going down business about? Aren't we on our way up? Isn't that what we all aspire to rise in life? You know, sometimes when you go to Scripture, you hear something you've never heard before, and I'm finding that experience frequently these days. I have heard or read for myself this story of Jesus' baptism basically all of my life. But I just noticed something about it. It may not be new to anyone else, but it was new to me. First of all, this is the first time in the Gospel of Matthew that we meet Jesus as an adult. We've heard the stories around his birth in Matthew, right? We've heard the stories about how the Magi came and went to Herod and then went to see the family in Bethlehem, went back home by another way, how the family had to escape into Egypt as political refugees because a wicked king was trying to take the child's life. And then they came back, and when they came back, they settled in Nazareth. That's the end of that story for many years. And then Jesus appears as an adult. When we encounter him in the story in which he's described as coming to John the Baptist for baptism, he comes And in Matthew's gospel, there is a dispute that takes place. When Jesus asked to be baptized, John demurs. He says, no, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you, which is absolutely correct. But Jesus says, no, if we're going to do this thing the right way, which is what righteousness means, if we're going to do this thing the right way, if I'm going to be fully human and experience everything humans do, then you're going to baptize me. And John agrees. In his first act, Jesus lowers himself. Jesus goes down. In his first words, Jesus chooses to be human, not to claim his status as the Son of God or as God incarnate. Isn't that what incarnation is about anyway? Why in the world would the God of the universe become a human being? Now that's a step down, isn't it? That's a pretty big step down. Except so God could show love toward us by knowing what it's like to be a human being from the inside out. God lowered God's status as creator of the universe to become a human being. God went down. Jesus' first act in the Gospel of Matthew, his first words in the Gospel of Matthew, demonstrate a kind of humility that will characterize his life and teaching throughout the gospel. A little bit later, he will tell his disciples, when you're invited to a party, don't take the seat of honor, take the lowest seat. He'll tell his disciples, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He'll tell his disciples, anyone who would be great among you must be a servant. In the Gospel of John, he'll wash their feet. Unimaginable. Every step of the way, Jesus' words and Jesus' actions demonstrate a kind of humility that is completely uncharacteristic of important religious or secular figures in the ancient Middle East. I've mentioned before a philosopher from Australia, John Dixon. He's a professor and a writer. Wrote a book a few years ago called Humilitas, Humility. And in it, he argues that the very first appearance of humility as a virtue is in the story of Jesus, in Jesus' life, in the Gospels written about him, and in the early church that claimed to follow him. Before that, it was considered a virtue to trumpet your successes, to have other people go about before you shouting how successful you are, your military, your political successes. It was great PR to get every little success you've ever had out there. And it was not a desirable thing to put yourself beneath someone else in a lower status. There was a very clear hierarchy. Honor was at the top, shame was at the bottom, and you wanted to move toward honor, not shame. And yet Jesus moved toward shame. He lowered himself. From his very first appearance, he lowers himself. There's an old rabbinic story about a disciple who comes to his rabbi. He says, Rabbi, in the ancient world, people used to see God all the time. How come people don't see God anymore? The rabbi said, it's because they can't stoop low enough. That's what Jesus is demonstrating. As God incarnate, he stooped low to become one of us. As the Messiah, he chose a completely different route than what was expected, ultimately taking on the most humiliating thing that could happen to a human being in that day and time, execution as a criminal by crucifixion. But now don't think that made him someone who could be walked on. No, you see, John Dixon describes humility as using your power in the service of others. Now, we all know folks who use their power in the service of themselves, right? That's fairly common. We also know folks who refuse to use their power, refuse to use their influence, either out of fear or because they want other people to make those decisions and use their power, and they leave it up to others. But Dixon says, humility is using your power in the service of others, which is exactly what Jesus did. It did not make him a gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Remember, he drove the money changers out of the temple. He turned over the tables. He confronted the most powerful people in his own religious tradition and the most powerful people, some of them, in the Roman Empire. Doesn't mean that he won in terms of the way the world measures winning. But every step of the way, his humility did not stop him from resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in his own time. I'm going to suggest to you that our baptism is our ordination into humility. If we say we are going to be a follower of Jesus, and he lived his life out of a kind of humility that allowed his power, which was extraordinary, to be used in the service of others, then our baptism is our ordination into humility, into following him. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about our baptismal vows being our New Year's resolutions every year. And I think they are. And today we're going to ask you to remember that you are baptized. Remember to whom you belong. And the promises that you made, or those that were made for you at your baptism by your parents, if you're young. One of those is that you will reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin. Anyone who tells you they do not need forgiveness is a liar. There's someone who is so lacking in self-reflection that they don't recognize their own brokenness, and we are all broken. The way to wholeness after being broken is by repenting, turning and walking a different direction, and asking forgiveness from those we have harmed, reestablishing relationships when they are broken, because ultimately the definition of sin is anything that breaks our relationship between us and God and us and our neighbor. Because after all, isn't that what Jesus said we were supposed to do? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Whatever breaks that is sin. And we need to repent of that. We promised that we would. And it's not just a one-time thing. I don't know about you, but I have to repent over and over and over again because I keep falling, stumbling and falling. We promise that we will resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. That resistance is not passive. It is active. It's not violent. At least if we follow the example of Jesus. But it is strong and it is active and it is resistance to anything in our culture that is evil, unjust, or that oppresses anyone, not just the people we like. Our church has been open to people of all ages, nations, and races. That's what the service says. It has been open to all people, and God's love is for all people. And the oppression of anyone is our oppression as well. Jesus came to free us from that. Now, that doesn't sound like your typical definition of humility, does it? But that's how Jesus lived it out. And we do that for one reason, because we promised that we would accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That means nobody else is Lord. No celebrity, no sports star, no politician, no powerful person, no influential person is Lord. There is one Lord and one alone, Jesus Christ. and we will put our whole trust in His grace, not in the powers of the world, not in the powers that are used to oppress people. We will use our power for the sake of others because we trust in the grace of the one who used His power for the sake of others. That's what we're asking you to remember. And when you come up here, we're going to put the sign of the cross on your forehead in water. Not the dollar sign. Not a big shining gold star for being such a great person. The sign of the cross. It's not just a trinket that you attach to a necklace or a bracelet. It is an instrument of execution that God transformed into a sign of hope. And we will say, remember your baptism and be thankful, or remember that you are baptized and be thankful. Now, this sounds like a tall order, I know. It sounds like something that may feel unachievable, but it's not. It starts simply. It starts by simply making room for another person. And I embarrassed her by telling this in the first service. She's not here now, and so I can tell it and a little less nervously. One of the things I admire most about my wife, Margaret, is the way that she listens to people, especially people she's not met before. If we're at a gathering and there are people around she doesn't know, she asks questions about them. She wants to know about their life, their background, not like an interrogation, but with genuine interest. She, much better than I, creates a space for that person. I'm the one who's always talking about what's going on at church and what I'm going to be doing and I'm retiring and, you know, all this stuff, you know. Not her. She makes space for another person by asking questions and receiving them into her circle of presence. It can begin there. Simply by making room, not talking to someone, crafting your answer to their statement, but really listening deeply in such a way that they feel heard and received. If we had more of that, I think we would have fewer divisions. If we could learn to listen and make room for others. So today we celebrate the fact that God went down to the valley to be us. Jesus went down to the river to be baptized by John, though he didn't need to. God didn't need to come to us either, but God did. And now we are sent to others to use our power for the sake of others, modeling our lives after the humility that we see in Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. We have a wonderful opportunity today in that we actually have a baptism as a part of our baptismal renewal service. What a celebration and what a treat. So I'm going to begin by asking those first questions we usually just ask to the parents, to all of you. Then I'll call the parents up. We will have that baptism, and then you will have an opportunity to renew your baptismal vows. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And now, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you all, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do, please say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you do, please say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. If you do, please say, I do. And now, if you all will come up. This morning, it is a joy to celebrate the sacrament of baptism, even as we renew our own baptismal covenant. Alexander Edward Munderlo and Emma McGee Munderlo bring their daughter, Catherine Cornelia Munderlo, to God before the community of faith for baptism. They've already answered the first three questions involved in this service, but I have a particular question for them. Emma and Alex, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, and by your teaching and example, that she might be guided to accept God's grace for herself, profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple that walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Will you come to me, sweetheart? Huh? Will you come to me? There we go. What name is given this child? Catherine Cornelia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You all can lay hands on her. Catherine Cornelia, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Yeah. You go back to Burmese. There you go. There you go. And if you all will come with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face Catherine Cornelia?
Was a surprise,
now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Catherine Cornelia to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Catherine Cornelia, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Congratulations. You may be seated. And you are now invited to come and reaffirm your baptismal vows. We will have several stations. There will be one in front of each of the transepts. There will be one for the choir, and there will be a couple up here, and then we'll be joined as the others finish with opportunities for you to come, to remember your baptism and be thankful, to have the sign of the cross placed on your forehead. If you choose, you're welcome to kneel for a time of prayer after that. If you choose, you're welcome to return to your seat, and we ask that you do that by way of the side aisle. Come by center aisle, go to the nearest station with water, and then return by way of the side aisle. If you choose, you're welcome to remain in your seat. That's perfectly okay. But please know, you are all invited to come and remember God's love for you expressed in your baptism. Now, friends, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Here at West End United Methodist, we welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following the service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you, answer any questions you might have. You can find them both in Reed Hall and in the narthex behind the sanctuary. After the service, you can find them with their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussion. They will gather in Reed Hall after the service. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. One side, you can record any comments for church staff and lay leadership. If you desire a callback, make sure to note that on the card. On the other side, please record any prayer requests and take note for us if they're to be shared or kept confidential. And you can place these cards in the offering plate in just a moment. Also, if you haven't already, please take a moment to record your attendance by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down. As it's coming back, take note who's worshiping with you this morning and greet them after the service if you haven't already. This morning, we are celebrating a few births. Ella Kate Wiseman was born December 16th to Melissa and Rob Wiseman. She's also welcomed by her big brother, Carter Wiseman. And David Shelton Allen was born December 26th in Panama City, Florida. He is welcomed by his parents, the Reverends Erica and Chris Allen. We're also mourning with some families this morning. Barbara Bundy died on Wednesday, January 11th. Services will be held Friday, January 20th. Visitation will begin at 1 in McWhirter Hall, with a memorial service following at 3 in the sanctuary. Among her survivors are her son and daughter-in-law, Bill and Kim Bundy, her daughter Libby Bacon, and her grandchildren Will, Miller, and Lizzie Bundy. Debbie, Tim, and Caitlin Ferguson are mourning the death of Debbie's mother, Betty Cunningham Parker, who died Thursday, January 12th. Services were held Saturday, January 14th in Camden, Tennessee. And George Gregg passed away yesterday. We're mourning with his wife, Mary Ann, and service arrangements are yet to be determined. As people who have passed through the waters of baptism, let us make our grateful offering to God, our Redeemer.
now go forth remembering your baptism, using your power to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.